You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Hi, this is Christopher Daniels. I've been called many things in my life. Fallen angel, idol of millions, inspiration to children everywhere, pillar of society, and I'm listening to Weeby Geeks. And now, so are you. Don't you feel better?
It is issue, God, issue. It is episode 85, and it is, of course, Weeby Geeks. And as always, it's Marty and Mike, or what? How we always joke, McFly and the Ogre in the morning.
McFly and the Ogre in the morning. And, working on that jingle, man. It's going to happen.
And we are joined by Bleeding Cool contributor, Jules Hendricks. How you doing tonight, Jules?
Good. Thanks for asking.
Not a problem. Hopefully, if things work out right, we might be hearing more and more from Jules in the future.
Yay!
So, I'm gonna, quite a bit this week, which surprised us all. But I'm gonna start it off with our Dark Horse pick of the week that we always do. And I'm going to go this week, or coming up for release on Wednesday, August 20th. I'm going with The Strain, The Night Internal, number one, launching the series right off. Of course, you know, The Strain, you know, we talked about The Strain a couple weeks ago, the TV series. Night Internal, it's been 2 years since the Master's plan succeeded and a near apocalypse coated the world in darkness. Now able to roam freely, the Master's legion of vampires rule the world. Man, talking about a horrifying police state. Humans are harvested for blood. Where's PETA in all this? And
it's about all they're good for, hard problems. Maybe organs, I guess.
As humanity despairs, Dr. Ephraim Goodweather, as opposed to Bad Weather, which we get all the time here in Florida during the summer, and the unlikely team of heroes continue their fight against extinction, and they hope to unlock the secret to the Master's demise. The Night Eternal is the final chapter in the Strain trilogy from Del Toro and novelist Chuck Hogan. So that's the pick, Strain, The Night Eternal, number one.
Cool.
So check it out. I own another one worth checking out is Dark Horse Presents number one. They're bringing back Big Guy?
Big Guy and Rusty the Boy Robot, right?
Yep.
Well, they're bringing back the series itself, because that's always a great anthology of just getting.
Yeah.
So like part of it would be like established talent, and part of it's like up and coming talent.
Yep.
Yeah, just like a huge anthology of a bunch of short stories. It's always been a great read to get. Sometimes people get scared by the price tag, because
$4.99.
$4.99. Oh, cool. So they've changed. I think the last iteration they had was like $7.99 price tag. It was like super glossy pages and a really thick format. But I think the price tag kind of scared people.
Right. Well, this is it's 48 pages, but it's $4.99. So you're paying a buck more for essentially a double issue.
Yeah.
Since most books are 24 pages.
Yeah.
So, I guess we're going to, let's start right off from news that we actually got from Bleeding Cool.
Cool.
And this is, Aquaman. Man, big news out of Aquaman this week.
Well, it is Shark Week, so that's
true.
Aquaman or anything water related for Shark Week.
Yeah, well, but I don't know what Tony Stark has to do with it. Oh, wait, you said Shark Week, not Stark Week. Okay.
Hey, I think, I want to give kudos right now to Comedy Central for starting up Shark Week, because that to me was brilliant marketing, and whoever came up with it found the perfect channel to do it on, because not only do you have South Park, but you have just a countless number of comedies that involve crapping yourself.
Well, I think it was Marvel that kind of put the twist on it and did Stark Week.
Yeah.
Yeah, with all Tony Stark stuff. So, You know, as we knew going into Comic-Con, coming out of Comic-Con, that Jason Momoa was rumored to be playing Aquaman in the upcoming DC whatever. It is official. Momoa will join Henry Cavill, Ben Affleck, and Gal Gadot in that Zack Snyder hit that's coming out now, March 25th, 2016, Batman Heart Superman, The Dawn of Justice.
So, yeah, what do you think about the casting? Does it get your heart of the Jason Momoa on the screen, on the big screen this time?
I have no problem with it, actually. I think he's a perfect fit. Looking at the picture, of course, everyone posts up the Game of Thrones picture. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to dye his hair blonde, you know, or darker brown or lighter brown to go closer to the book. But even if they don't and leave him as is, perfect fit. He's got the look. I'm fine with it personally. I mean, it's one of the few decisions in this whole thing that actually makes sense. I mean, Gal Gadot.
What are you saying? Are you already calling out Gal Gadot like some MMA prize fighting chick or something like that or what?
Hey, Ronda Rousey's got a point.
Ronda Rousey calling out Gal Gadot, and I was like, why? That's not even a fair fight.
Yeah, but have you seen Expendables 3 yet?
No.
Oh.
I had to wash my hair that weekend. Come on.
Well, technically, it's not even out yet, despite the fact that someone involved with the show leaked it onto the internet.
Whoops.
Whoopee.
Yeah. So are you saying you have it, Mike? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Because you haven't given it to me yet, have you?
No.
Stutter says it all, man. You can just give it to me after the show. It's okay.
Plead the fifth.
Yeah, I heard it was like some disgruntled. It's got to be some disgruntled like PR person or something like that that's part of the studio and is like, nah, I'm putting up this whole thing. And it's not even like the screener copies that sometimes they release where like part of it goes to black and white for a little while or has like the text scrolling across the bottom like saying, you know, if you bought this, you're a sucker.
Right.
It was actually like the full-on just DVD burn copy of the movie put out before it hits the theaters.
Yeah, it's a digital. From what I've been hearing, it's a digital copy that goes to, you know, those theaters doing the digital format, you know, where it's on disc, not film, you know, not on the celluloid like it used to be.
I don't think that happens that much anymore. I'm convinced it doesn't happen that often anymore.
I think
most of the movie theaters are to the download only mode these days.
If it's not download only, they're getting a couple different copies of the disc and to put in. So it's just the burn marks are just there for tradition, I think. But no, it's this is a wise choice. You know, I kind of agree with Ronda Rousey, and especially with her saying, you know, I would be a better, you know, I would have been more than happy to have taken on Wonder Woman. You know what? I'd take Ronda Rousey as Wonder Woman in a heartbeat.
Well, she can fight, sure. She does that for a living, but how's her acting? And I don't know if Expendables 3 is going to stretch that acting classes lessons at all.
From what I have seen, her acting's not that bad. So take that for what you want.
What does that mean? What have you seen her in though? Just like the trailers for Expendables 3, where she's just like smiling at the camera and then meeting somebody in the face. That's not acting, Mike. I don't know what you're looking at, but that's not acting.
Maybe some extended clips.
Maybe. You got the movie. Just admit it. Come on.
Plead the fifth. I plead the fifth.
Doesn't even share with his buddy that he talks to every week. I'm glad we got somebody new on the show because now at least we can side up and team up against you because you are the worst share ever. Taking my toys and going home. See you guys.
Sure thing, Cartman. But yeah, I guess the other big news with Aquaman is not one but two scriptwriters.
Ooh.
So I've lost my story.
It's kind of they do that to speed up the scriptwriting process. So basically, like they hire two scriptwriters who aren't working together to write something. It's like you write something that you think is awesome, you write something that you think is awesome. We're somehow gonna take the most awesome of your awesome and make them into one movie, which I guess works. I don't.
We're talking DC here, though.
In theory, it should work. It's like, okay, I like that, and I like that. Let's work these into one movie.
Throw it in there.
It could work, right? What could go wrong?
Well, if I remember right, both writers are part of the Warner Brothers stable. What's it? Oh, here it is. Will Beal, who wrote Gangster Squad, and Kurt Johnstad, who worked on the 300 movies with Zack Snyder.
Oh, okay.
So there's going to be, some ties to Zack Snyder, so maybe, but, I guess the one thing I am kind of a little disappointed in is, from what I've heard, they didn't even consider Eric M. Esquivel as Aquaman at all.
I kind of think he doesn't have the physique, seeing as how he's a comic book writer and he just loves the character. I don't think he can fit out the costume.
Yeah, but we had the perfect casting, especially after we had him on. I mean, it was
maybe the perfect writer for the movie, not necessarily the casting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, maybe they. Maybe they should have gotten him to write it.
I was gonna say, for getting back to the actor, Jason Momoa. Are you a Game of Thrones fan? You know, one of you?
I am.
I am behind on Game of Thrones. What season is it currently?
They just got done with season 4.
I'm 4 seasons behind.
He's in season 1. So if you haven't started it, you haven't even seen him. He's like basically in the first episode, I think, if I remember right. So. So seeing that you have seen Game of Thrones, do you see any correlation between his big rough demeanor character in Game of Thrones that could be carried over to Aquaman?
Yeah, I think that, like, when they first announced, like, the rumor that he was going to be it, I was like, oh, that, like, his physique and everything is going to be a good choice. But I was worried about, like, his, like, you know how, like, when you see him in all his movies, he always has, like, the makeup, the really dark, like, punk rocker makeup. But as far as, like, his physique and everything, and I think he's a great actor, so I think he's going to be great for it.
He does have that. That is maybe a concern, because you always think of Aquaman as being blonde hair, blue eyes, and he is not that. Like, he's got, just the ethnicity in his face as far as, like, having that dark skin tones and dark hair. It's kind of, that's playing opposite to what we usually think of as Aquaman. But I think you're right. Like, as far as an actor, he can do the role, I think, quite well.
Yeah.
Right. I think so. I'll be curious to see if he takes the John DiMaggio approach to the voice, too.
I think he's likely so.
Yeah. It'll be curious now how regal will he get with it.
Say what you will about the portrayal of Aquaman on Brave and the Bold, but because of that role, my son likes Aquaman, and he's only, you know, he's about to turn 4, and at 4, I wouldn't give a crap about Aquaman, even though I saw him on the Super Friends. So it'd make him cool, and when Batman is the coolest thing ever, Aquaman is not far behind, and it's all because of DiMaggio there.
See, yeah. It's gotta be my age, but I didn't mind Aquaman as a kid. I mean, it's actually one of the Mego figures I played with the most.
But only your parents got it on clearance because nobody else wanted it. Don't lie.
I have no clue what back then Migos were probably $2-3 to begin with.
Right.
As opposed to now where they'd be $13.99.
But as a kid, what was your thoughts on Aquaman? Be honest with me.
I didn't mind it.
You didn't love him, but you didn't hate him because he wasn't the first thing that you thought of when you thought of superheroes, right?
He wasn't Black Lightning. I mean, he wasn't Comanche Chief.
Right.
I mean, which in many ways...
Bad racist stereotypes, you mean?
God, what was the Oriental guy who always did the tornado?
Oh, what was his name?
Yeah, him.
It was bad. What was?
I mean, definitely Aquaman. I mean, he was, the way it was presented in the cartoon, he was one of the establishing members of the Justice League. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Robin. boom, there's your core. Oh, in the Flash. So
I mean, as far as like, I can't remember a single Super Friends adventure that he went on that I was like, oh, that was awesome. Not a one. I can't even think of him in the background. I think of Robin more, but that probably because it was Casey Kasem's voice that allured me to Robin more than the character itself. But yeah, he did nothing. He did nothing.
That's so interesting because you don't really think of Aquaman when you think of superheroes. It's always Superman, Batman, like two main, like that's what I always think of. So it's going to be interesting to see like what they can, like if they bring, when they bring out merchandising for the movie, what they're going to bring out for that, like for little kids. Because it would be cool to have like little kids be like, oh, I want to be like Aquaman. Like you don't ever hear that. You always hear like, I want to be like Superman or Batman or The Flash, but Aquaman kind of overlooked.
Well, I'm already lobbying for the toy line for him to have a giant shark with a saddle on it for him to ride. I would buy that right now.
Me too.
Well, everyone forgets too, Aquaman had his own cartoon series as well.
What? I don't know, Chris. Yes. You're lying.
Yes. No, I'm not lying.
What was it called? Aquaman?
It was called Aquaman.
Oh, that doesn't make any sense, Mike. What? Was it a spinoff of the Super Friends?
I think so. I think it was the Hanna-Barbera.
Same time period?
Yeah. I'm going in IMDb right now.
I wonder if it's on Netflix or something. Probably not.
Probably not. Maybe after the movie comes out, it'll get some love and some daylight.
Let's see, Aquaman TV series, the repackaging of Aquaman's half of Superman Aquaman Hour from 1968.
Oh, that's before Super Friends, isn't it? When Super Friends was in the 70s?
Yeah.
Superman Aquaman Hour, are you for real?
Dead serious. A repackaging of Aquaman's half of Superman Aquaman the Superman Aquaman Hour of Adventure. 1967, including the rotating spot of the Atom, the Flash, Green Lantern, Hawkman, those heroes plus Superman and sometimes Aquaman combined as the Justice League of America, and Aquaman sidekick Aqualad, Flash's partner Kid Flash, Boy Bowman Speedy, and adolescent Amazon Wonder Girl together as the Teen Titans.
Oh. Nice. So even in Aquaman's own titled show, Aquaman was barely in it, is what you're trying to tell me.
Basically.
They pushed it to the back. Like, yeah, you're named on the marquee. People will forget you. Don't worry. But let's sit this one out, Aquaman. Just sit over here.
Or Aquaman.
So now time to go to Wikipedia to see if there's even more.
Oh, sure. This is actually stunning news.
Aquaman 1967 TV series premiered on CBS. So no, it was not Hanna-Barbera. It was Filmation. Premiered in CBS on September 9th, 1967, and ended in June of 1970.
Yeah, I just say September 30th of 1967. Got two rearings. I'm dogging on Aquaman so hard just because I guess it's low-hanging fruit, but because I'm going to go back. I'm going to retract. I only recently became an Aquaman fan when Geoff Johns started taking over on
the show. Yeah, yeah. Number of episodes were 36.
Wow. There you go. Collected in any DVD form? You can find them now?
DVD release was...
No kidding.
The videos were re-released in 1996 and are now out of print on,
that's probably
October 20th. That would probably be VHS. Yeah.
Right,
VHS.
Right.
October 23rd, 2007, Warner Home Video released The Adventures of Aquaman, the complete collection on DVD in, the two disc set features all 36 Aquaman segments from the series.
Wow.
So that is probably still out there. So yeah.
Man. Also jokes aside and kind of talking about Aquaman in the comics, did you ever think you'd see a day where Aquaman is supporting not only one title but two for DC right now? Because he's got his own title and he's got Aquaman and the others. So maybe the year of the Aquaman coming up. By the time the movie comes out, maybe he'll have like three or four titles like Superman.
Quite possibly. I don't know.
It ain't gonna happen.
I don't know. I mean, he, there was the pilot episode for Aquaman that had, what's his name, who was playing Arrow in Smallville.
Justin Hartley?
Yes. And of course, that show failed only because of the merger of, into what's now the CW. Was it UPN and,
WB.
And no, my TV.
That failed before that happened. Because I watched the pilot and there was nothing special.
Yeah, I did too.
I didn't see it until iTunes had it for free for years.
Yeah. they tried really hard. I mean, they were pushing that female demo really hard because that guy was shirtless for most of the episode. But that was pretty much the only thing working for the show.
Yeah.
So that's all I remember. I remember shirtless dude and like this, I think they were in a pond. I don't think it was a lake. I don't even think it's the ocean. I think it was just a giant pond.
It was like a lagoon. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, something, typical
I
Florida.
I want to see a bomb dropped in it and it may have exploded, but that's all I can tell you.
Yeah, it's been a while since I watched it, but you know, it had potential. I mean, look at the start of Smallville. Okay, well, look at the end of Smallville, too. For those of you who suffered all 10 seasons of that one. Yeah. But no, I think there's potential there. The movie, it makes sense. It's just, I'd be curious to see, I think I even titled a Weeby Geeks episode back when Ken was around and we talked about, you know, you can't talk underwater. So how are they going to do all that bit?
Well, I was going to say one of the pondering questions, I guess, because we do know an Aquaman movie is coming and we do know Batman, Superman. That's the only one that has, you know, pretty much everything lined up. Aquaman's still in the works. Want to take a wager as to what year we might see the Aquaman movie? Because that wasn't tied to any of the news.
It's going
to
be in that year of the geek implosion, 2017.
Could be. Because DC did announce that there will be two movies being released in 2016. So we know for sure Batman and Superman, and the other one that's going to be later is untitled still. Do you think they could have it done by then?
Possibly.
That's probably why they have two writers, because they're done.
Yeah.
Speed it up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, or do you think they might be saving that for Justice League? Going ahead, like, introducing everybody in Batman and Superman, and then the next movie is Justice League.
Yeah, I think they're going to bring it out. Well, supposedly they're going the isn't Justice League supposedly rumored for 2016? Because I thought I was hearing or reading that part of the reason why Batman got moved up is so they could go straight from Batman Hearts Superman right into filming of Justice League. And pretty much almost shoot them back to back.
Good. So I'm just saying, I'm like, I'm speculating just like you guys as far as like, which is more likely, a Justice League movie first or the Aquaman movie first?
It's going to be Justice League before Aquaman.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's funny how they're doing, there's kind of backwards to Marvel where they're kind of having everybody in the movie like right now, and then they're going to just kind of do the solo films, whereas Marvel kind of did the solo first and then Avengers and continuing with solo. It's just kind of neat to see.
I would say at the moment, the only thing DC has done right is the TV shows.
Oh, yeah, their TV shows are bomb. I love them.
I still think Marvel or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not quite at DC's level with the show. I mean, it got better near the end. After finally seeing Captain America Winter Soldier, a lot of the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. makes a lot more sense, even though not seeing it still made sense. It still pieces a lot together.
And I thought that was a really kind of hard thing to do because, yeah, you're definitely going for the hardcore fans when you have like ties to a weekly television series, and then to really get all the connections, you must go to the big movie opening that weekend, and then watch, you know, so you can catch the next week's episode and you know, basically not miss a beat. And like I'm just thinking of like, you know, the percentage of people that would fall into of being able to keep up with the show, not, you know, not just DVR it and you know, marathon when the season's over.
Right.
And then you got the people, I guess, that are the comic nerds that are hard enough that they're going to go, you know, hardcore enough to go opening weekend to see the movie. Then, you know, it just kind of felt like it was really playing to a smaller percentage than I think they thought they were going to get.
Right. Well, speaking of Marvel and Cap, man, we're all over the place with movie stuff. The screenwriters for Captain America 3 address if Falcon will take over for Captain America in the movies. Now, we talked about this briefly last week. Now, with the whole Anthony Mackie state, you know, with everyone speculating, oh, Sebastian Stan's the next Captain Marvel. It's already set in stone. When asked, because I think the movies can accommodate almost anything if there's a need, says Marcus. It's Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely. Who are the screenwriters. I think there's a much greater need to shake things up in the comics because that's a narrative and that's been going on for 60, 70 years. So you're going to wind up having to do things to it. Ours has only been off the ground for 5 or so. So not quite time to start changing things up yet. Plus, I can't figure out how he's going to have the wings and the shield at the same time. Isn't it going to get all cramped up on the wing? I don't know. When those things happen in the comics, you have a tendency to perhaps cynically go, yeah, but is he going to be Steve Rogers in 2 months? He's going to wake up out of cryostasis or whatever it is and it's going to be like, oh, I need that shield back. So,
a lighthearted answer to basically, you know, kind of what we piece together. It does basically boil down to this legend for the movie version is still brand new. So why would you replace him when he's still brand new to most audiences, to the movie going audience at least?
Right. But if they figure out, but the way it seems like too, if they figured out the shield wing thing, there's a possibility you might see it in the movie.
We should demand to see it in Avengers 2, like the shield wing.
Yeah.
That's their conundrum. Like they can't figure that part out. I don't know.
Well, that's the part we're hung up on. We would totally do it.
Yeah.
But we can't figure out how he would hold a shield and some wings. So.
Well, considering the comic costume is totally different from what they had in the movie.
I don't think he's got the wings as Captain America though, does he?
Yes.
Oh, does he? Okay.
He'll have the wings.
I haven't looked close enough, I guess.
Yeah. It looks like. His Captain America outfit is the modified Falcon costume, just repainted over to the cap.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, because instead of having the blue hood, he still has his Falcon Falcon hood or Falcon cowl. So, but
it's been figured out, people. What are you waiting for? Get on it.
I've said from the get go, I've questioned from the get go, has the move in the comics been taken? Is that taken from cue from the initial plans for him from the cinematic?
I say no.
I was hoping for Bucky to take over so bad because I heard a rumor that Sebastian Stan signed on for like 8 movies. And so I was like, right. Oh, that's got to be it then. He's going to be Captain America. That's just like, that's it. Like I had my mind made up and then they dropped this bomb on me and I was like, oh no, like that just,
yeah, but me up. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing a prequel movie where, you know, we're seeing Winter Soldier. Yeah, something that kind of goes along the lines with the Winter Soldier book. Mm-hmm. You know, where they could do some backstory or do, you know, one of the big Winter Soldier storylines as a movie.
Oh yeah, I would be so excited. I love Bucky so, and this movie I missed the, for some reason I forget why, but I missed the last scene. You know how like you stay after? Well, I was one of those people that left. I took my daughter and I think she had to go to the bathroom, so I left and then I googled it and I almost cried because the end scene was with Bucky and I was like, no, I'm so sad. I was like, never again.
Yeah, I'm with you. I could see that happening where Bucky could inherit the mantle of Captain America in the movies, mostly because you don't know, they could run into a whole ploy of what's happening with Robert Downey Jr. now, where it's almost getting too expensive to keep having Robert make another Iron Man movie because he's just getting more and more money every movie. So if you can like somehow hand off the mantle, like when Chris Evans says, I'm done. I've made 6 of these already as Captain America. I need to go do something else. I need to go reboot Fantastic Four a third time or something like that. You know? make something good out of that. So sooner or later, the actor himself is just going to get tired of being that character and want to do something else. So you kind of already have that automatic fill-in that makes sense.
Right. Well, I'm glad you said reboot.
Nobody's glad when they say you're reboot, though.
Well,
only you.
The one story I found that kind of made me feel good was in relation to...
been waiting to play that song all night,
I have. James Gunn addresses the possibility of a Howard the Duck movie. Yes. I'm okay with this. I know he said that, the Howard the Duck cameo at the end of the film was, it was just thrown out there, just for the fun, because, it was one of those things that fits the movie. But in an interview with Empire Magazine, James Gunn shares some insight into Howard's future. He goes, "I'll be honest with you. I was just talking about it with my assistant right now. It's possible Howard could reappear as more of a character in the Marvel Universe. But if people think he's going to lead, it's going to lead to a Howard the Duck movie, that's probably not going to happen in the next 4 years. Who knows after that?" Okay, I'm fine with that. He doesn't have to be a part, or he doesn't have to have his own film. But yeah, I would love to see Howard return. I don't know. It's maybe because of my age, maybe because I liked the cheesiness of the original movie. I love the cheesiness of the character itself. I'm all for it.
Which version are you hoping for? Like the one that they portrayed the last time they made a movie of him, or the one that's kind of more in the comics that's maybe a bit more adult?
I didn't like the 2007. I finally got a chance to go back and read the 2007 miniseries.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't like the 2007 look, but if they brought him back similar to how he was in the 80s or in the 70s, I'd be all over it. I take that in a heartbeat. Let's go.
What if you did a all humanoid spin-off movie where you get Rocket and Howard and Groot, and they just go off and do adventures together?
That'd be great. Why not?
See, that just came to me. It's like, what if you get all these like people that they're not even human, but they're awesome?
I'd be all for it.
I'd like to see the interaction between Howard the Duck and Rocket. Now, I'm trying to work that out in my head right now too. Just like, would that be a duo for the ages? Kind of like a Laurel and Hardy sort of deal.
I think so. I could see him potentially being thrown in with Guardians of the Galaxy. I would love for there to be some backstory that he has some interaction with Iron Man, and we see the Iron Duck suit. Told you, I love the duck, man. But then again, over on Mighty Marvel Geeks, I've been picking regular, each month, I've been picking Dupe as well. It's one of my picks of the week. So I like the obscure. I don't know if it's the underdog thing or it's just the whatever. I mean, it's like in DC Comics, which I'm still ticked on it. But Larfleeze, great story. It was a great title. It had a great run.
I love Larfleeze.
It was one of those characters that, the book stood on its own. You didn't need the other Lantern books. Mm-hmm. It was just a great thing, and I absolutely enjoyed it. A lot of people hated it, hence why it only did 12 issues.
I didn't hate it because I didn't read it, but I was also to the point of, getting the Green Lantern, or just Lanterns in general, overdose, because that would have added, that would be the fifth Lantern title.
I think it was, either the sixth or the seventh, because you had Green Lantern.
Three greens, a red, and then Larfleeze, right? So that's five.
Maybe it is five. Because you had what? Green Lantern, Green Lantern Corps, New Guardians, Red Lanterns, Larfleeze. Is that it?
I think that's it, yeah.
Okay.
And then whatever, probably some random specials and stuff in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, that's a lot. He's not Batman. The Lanterns aren't, even though there's more people and Batman's just one person, Batman is about the only person I know that can carry 10 titles a month, besides maybe Wolverine, and that somehow people will still keep buying it.
Yeah. I read somewhere that the X-Men movie should be renamed Wolverine and the Mutants.
I think it's so funny. Wolverine is not only have all these titles, but he's in every single Marvel comic, it seems like. He's just everywhere. It's crazy.
Seriously, it's going to be, I think that's one of the more interesting things, I think, where they've got the Death of Wolverine storyline going on right now. And, you know, when he dies, all these, like, super teams are also going to have to not use him as well. And what's going to happen to Wolverine, and, you know, when he's not in the Avengers, and he's not in Wolverine and the X-Men, and he's not in X-Men, and, you know, all, I mean, the list can go on and on with all the titles
right.
he's in.
Right.
He's dead. You can't write a dead character.
True.
Unless you're the Black Lantern.
Now, speaking of characters, we know Vin Diesel is a character, and yeah, he kind of pranked his way into the role of Groot. Do you think he's potentially doing the same thing with either trying to get the Inhumans movie made, or is it already slated and he's trying to prank his way into the role of Black Bolt?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Vin Diesel as Black Bolt is not the worst idea I've ever heard.
At least he'll have the mask.
I have a mask. Black Bolt doesn't talk because his power is, you know, is all in his voice. So when he uses his voice, that's where his power comes from. So he can't talk. So we don't have to worry about him actually trying to act.
Right.
He's got the physique that, you know, you could definitely see is probably Black Boltish.
Right.
Yeah, I say why not? Casting done. Close it. We got a Black Bolt. Now we just got to get the rest of the part of the Inhumans movie off the ground, and we'll be all set.
Sure. Well, you've already got Paul Bettany as the Vision. You know, bring him involved. So, I mean, no big deal there. So that's two.
And you got to get Crystal, and you got to cast that dog, which will be the tricky part. I'm trying to remember any of the Inhumans off the top of my head, too. Not a regular read for me.
Was it? You got also two... I'm not that familiar with the Inhumans.
Well, did we talk about this on our show where, I believe I had heard that Vin Diesel actually has at least partial rights to the, Pitch Black movies or Pitch Dark. Pitch Black. What is it?
The Riddick stuff.
Yeah. I guess the copyright or something lapsed and he was able to buy it or get it or acquire it some way.
Well, they wanted him to come back to do Fast and Furious. Mm-hmm. And he said, and it was like right after he did Chronicles of Riddick, or right before he did Chronicles of Riddick. He said, that's fine. I'll do it. I get the rights to Riddick. to the Riddick franchise.
Right.
That was smart.
Yeah.
So.
So I think so, like, if another Riddick movie gets done, he is kind of like the go-to head for making it happen and work, which is really weird to think of an actor actually owning the rights to his own character.
Well, he's done it twice now. I would say since then, because you had Chronicles of Riddick and then you had Riddick.
I think it was only recently that he actually acquired it, like maybe before the Riddick movie came out, this last one.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And we're too far in. I'm not looking it up on Wikipedia. we still got other stuff to cover. getting over to the TV side of things, Terry Crews is still pitching for Luke Cage. Just come out and say he's Luke Cage. Come on. Who else are you going to grab? Who's slated to retire out of the NFL this year?
How about Bobby Lashley from the world of wrestling?
No.
Former WWE, and I think he's with,
he's with Impact TNA wrestling. He's with TNA right now. No, I don't see him as Luke Cage.
I don't know how well he acts. That's the catch there, but he's got like a huge physique.
He's huge, but Terry Crews is still a better choice than Lashley.
What is with all the Expendables 3 tie-ins that you've got here? That's what I'm wondering. You are all on the Expendables tonight. That's what it is. You got it on the brain.
Could be.
Next you're going to tell me that Frasier is going to be starring in the next Marvel movie. He's going to be playing Claw, or I don't know. I'm just pulling stuff out of my butt right now.
No, but he is in Expendables 3.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like that, I fully expect your next story to be an Expendables 3 tie-in.
We'll see. Looking through everything. Let's see. We've done the James Gunn. We've done Inhumans. We've done Cap. We've done... I don't see...
I know what he's going to be in. He's going to be in the Power Rangers reboot that's coming out.
Really?
Sure. Why not? Let's start that rumor. Hashtag Frasier as Gordon. What was the guy? What was the face's name?
Gordon.
Gordon. That is that's like the character from the stupid Sprint commercials. I don't remember. I don't remember my Power Rangers enough to spout it off. And I know you're too old to have caught the Power Rangers bug.
Yeah, I am too old for the Power Rangers bug. I remember a coworker, her son. I forgot what disease he had, but he was a huge Power Rangers fan. And of course, the figure, you know, it was the first series just came out. You know, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And the toys were like the hottest thing. And trying to find different figures for him so he could get all his Power Rangers. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. That felt like the beginning of the toy shortage where it seemed like, you know, the hot toy was just gone in instance and people were paying, you know, eBay was still, felt like it was still kind of new and up and coming and people were just raking up big bucks on eBay.
At this time, eBay wasn't even the thing.
Oh, it was not?
I mean, we're talking 93 when the series started in this country.
Right.
Is it Zordon we're thinking of?
Yeah, that sounds right. Come on, I know somebody. You got to be a Power Rangers expert, right?
Yeah, no? I'm not a fan. I shouldn't say I'm not a fan. I never really got into it when I was a kid. And then my daughter would watch them. I can't remember if it was on Netflix or on demand. She would just watch them like nonstop, like just one after the other. And there was like, I thought they were all the same and like, there's just all these different ones. I got so confused. I was like, what? Oh my gosh. I thought it was like all the same titles and they're all different stories and all different everything. So I was like, oh, I'm done.
Wait till I watched the first, the originals in high school, mostly as like, hey, this is something stupid that's on. And it kind of reminded me like the old Godzilla sets and stuff like that. So I'd watch it for kicks. And then I started finding myself watching it, not for fun, but just because I was actually interested in what little story it had.
Right.
Which is kind of freaky as a high school student to realize you're watching something ironically and then you're actually falling in love with the show. And then, I stopped watching it after a few, I think it was after movie, you know, started doing college and things like that, getting distracted. And it surprised me that the show just kind of continued on and then they would just rename it and recast it like every season or two. And it's continued. I don't think there's been a season where it hasn't been on since the original was on.
No. And at one point, it was owned by Disney.
That's true.
Interesting.
It was owned. Because I remember the Power Stranglers in the at Disney Hollywood Studios.
The Power Stranglers?
Oh, I'm sorry. Power Rangers.
Oh, Power Rangers.
Yeah, we used to do a spoof. It's the Mighty Morphine Power Stranglers.
Yeah, they just sneak up on people and choke them out. No, they didn't have that much of a story.
They would just take shots of morphine and think that they were superheroes.
Would they cast them in Disney? Would they be somebody that would walk around the park?
Yeah. But they used to come out and do meet and greets. How's that?
There you go. Did you get your picture taken?
No. Oh. I was working. I think I was still over at. I was at Epcot when they came out, and it's just one of those. I had no desire. So, Power Rangers. God, what's the TV series?
Oh, you don't want to go down that rabbit hole. Trust me, brother.
I know.
Yeah.
But yeah. Let's see. Sabine Entertainment distributed Power Rangers from 93 to end of 2001. Fox broadcast it until the fall of 2002, while Disney Company purchased the franchise as part of a buyout that took place in 2001. When did it go back to Sabine? Because I know the show is being aired on October 1st, 2009, that Bandai released a press release that Disney would rebroadcast, 2010, Saban Brands bought back Power Rangers from Disney for $43 million.
Wow.
Yeah, if you really want to kind of have the mind screw as far as like trying to understand Power Rangers, I think like the current season or in the last couple of years, like some of the original casts have actually come back on some of the later seasons, sometimes as themselves and then other times that they're playing entirely different characters. So then you got some mass confusion there. Cause I know the guy that played Tommy,
Jason David Frank.
Yeah. He's been on the show. He was in the original run, and then he came back as a different character.
No, he's always been back as Tommy.
I thought there was one time he came back as a different character.
His character is now a doctor of some sort.
Doctor.
Yes, doctor.
Doctor, I didn't know you can get a PhD in kicking butt. Ha! That was a stretch.
Let's see. I guess the latest one is Samurai.
Yeah.
But I'm just looking through some of these names.
They ran out of animals and species to trick upon for their titles, so they had to go someplace.
Actually, the current one is Power Rangers Super Mega Force.
Now they're playing an adjective game.
And starting next year will be Power Rangers Dino Charge.
What? You can't go back to the dinos. They already did that. those kids were not even when they did that, those kids were not even conceived close to being. Yeah. Probably most of their parents hadn't even been conceived by then.
Probably.
So. You guys are making me want to watch this now. I think I want to watch it.
I'm telling you, the first season is some like cheesy gold. If you go back, I bet your kid will probably hate it now because she's actually seen it after they polished it up. But the first season just got like, and the mixing of the American set versus the stuff that they were just using from Japan, classic comedy.
Oh yeah, and well, they're still doing it. That's the whole thing.
Yeah,
a lot of it is still being mixed from the Japanese show. Which is still running. Which I didn't know they're still running Ultraman over in Japan.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, did
what a series.
Random thought though. I did see it was on Nelson's Facebook page. I happened to catch it. Like somebody, I'm not sure if he posted or somebody else, but somebody posted the Japanese made version of Spider-Man, and it was straight up Power Rangers. Like a flying car came out to help Spider-Man take on a giant like monster, like, you know, samurai kind of monster, and it was I think at one point even Spider-Man got like a mechanical, it wasn't even a spider. Can't remember what creature it turned into, but it was like, you would think it would turn into a spider.
Right.
But yeah, then they started having like the giant robot kind of, you know, two guys in a suit sort of fight in the giant, you know, small city. And it was the trippiest thing I'd ever seen. You should probably YouTube that for some fun.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely have to look into that. Now, I know you put this on, Marty, about what came out on Blu-ray this week.
Yeah, you know, I'm big fan of Young Justice cartoon that was on Cartoon Network, and I think it must have snuck up on everybody because nobody had this on their radar. Even Newsarama was like, oh yeah, hey, by the way, season one just came out on Blu-ray today. And so I don't think there was much press. I think it's Warner Brothers is just like maybe testing the waters to see if something sticks, if the fans are still there.
I think so. I mean, the outcry is still, I mean, with the announcement last week that Young Justice is going to come on Teen Titans Go.
Right.
Yes.
Now, the outcry there. Oh my God, is the series coming back? I mean, it's been rumored. It's been, we've been told, yes, the series is coming back. Okay, when's it going to happen? Yeah, you know, at this point in time, they've had enough time to work it to do it.
I think at this point, if it does come back, it's not going to be the same creative team, same incarnation. So it's just been too much time. Those people have all found new jobs to work on.
Oh, yeah.
So, which is sad. But, I guess it's been streaming on Netflix before they put out the DVDs, and I guess it's been doing pretty well. So they put out the Blu-rays for the first season, and I guess knowing them, if the Blu-rays for season one sells well, then they'll put out the rest of them for season two, and which would be, that'd be awesome to see. I that was one of those surprise shows to where I really didn't think it was going to do much, and it wowed me in many ways of like having a fairly complex overall story arc to it.
Yeah I mean, it was great. Now, I got a little confused after the one season where all of a sudden it's like 5 years later, but it was still a lot of the same characters, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah. That felt like a decent excuse for them to be able to add more teen heroes to it, because we started seeing a lot. I mean, it jumped like threefold how many characters they had on there.
Yeah, and the whole explanation of Beast Boy.
Yeah.
Because of something in the previous season, now we see him 5 years later, and he's Beast Boy because of the whole alien thing.
Right.
Alien blood transfusion. But I'll tell you, Dark Horse put out their November solicitations. There's a book that got me all giddy inside. And it's from the creators. I think it was one of your first interviews. No, it was your second interview on the show, wasn't it?
Sure. I'm going to go with sure.
I was going to
say. What are you talking about, Mike?
The first one was with Bernard. Second one, which was our first this year, Art and Franco.
Yeah. Well, I guess I should have known when you said the itty bitty, because that is their niche.
Mm-hmm. Itty bitty comics, The Mask. Aww. If you enjoyed Itty Bitty Hellboy. If you enjoyed, was it Little, did they call it Little Battlestar?
Yeah, it was Little Battlestar Galactica, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And of course, Teen Titans, or Tiny Titans.
Tiny Titans. Superman Adventures.
Yeah. Of course, the originators of this before Scotty Young came out with Marvel Kids or Marvel Babies or whatever, which don't get me wrong, Scotty Young is brilliant with his as well. But this is going to be Itty Bitty Comics, The Mask. The Mask is back, and it's Herman Shazbert's turn. When a mild-mannered zookeeper buys his wife a strange mask, the whole family wants to try it on. But watch out, Grandma Shazbert, it will put quite the pep in your step. The Mask is back and crazier than ever.
I can't wait. I love Art and Franco. We met them when we went to New York Comic Con last year, and they are the nicest people, like, ever. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't reading any Hellboy titles before. Like, I picked up Itty Bitty Hellboy because I pick up everything they do. Like, I don't care what it is, I pick it up just because I'm like, I'm going to love it. I started reading Itty Bitty Hellboy, and then I realized that I didn't really know anybody but Hellboy, so I was like, alright. So I started reading Hellboy, and I, like, love it so much. And so I, like, attribute it to that, because if I wasn't reading Itty Bitty Hellboy, then right. I never picked up Hellboy. So I'm like, they did it. Like, that's the reason why I'm reading it, so.
I wondered if that kind of, I guess marketing, say, if it actually worked or not, or because, you know, some ways it's a little risky to do, because I know they've got a really young fan following with the stuff that they do. It's really an all ages kind of thing, and to like put an all ages book of a character that's not necessarily all ages, like Hellboy's not too bad, but say, like, you know, little Vampy with Vampirella, you know, walking around in her dental floss all the time, you know, if that actually translates to actually getting any new readers in, or if it's just kind of more of right. a fun thing for existing readers already.
I don't know. I will say this, though. I'm waiting for Art and Franco to do Sasquatch. With the way he is all over Sasquatch. Mm-hmm. If you remember on our show, you know, he was talking about the Squatch.
Maybe what they
come on, Art. You need to do a Sasquatch title now.
Here's what you need to they need to do Itty Bitty $6 Million Man.
Yes,
where then meets up with Sasquatch, and that would be their take of that was an actual episode of the $6 Million Man. And when, so you just kind of recreate that, or maybe see like the behind the scenes or something like that. There you go. That's a story for him.
Yep. I'm so excited because my first official original art piece that I've ever received in my life was from the Aya Comics issue, Zero Issue, which isn't actually out yet. And it was from their Kickstarter that I did. And so, like, I have it in a frame, and it's, like, my most prized possession ever. So.
Yeah, that's the thing. I got this, you know, went to C2E2 this year, and walking by Artist Alley, their booth is always packed with people when they're over there signing, and they really do a great job of you know, touching the fan base and, like, actually, you know, getting to know them or spending any time with them. And that time we had them on our show, it was, you know, even after the podcast, we're signed off and everything, we're just kind of shooting the breeze, you know, talking comics and things that we, you know, things that we like. And it's, you know, you don't always find that with everybody that's in the industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Where did it go? Never mind. It's too late for it now. Here it is.
So is this live?
Oh, that was Curtis. I had some clips from Art. I just don't know where I put them now. Don't know where I put them. Oh, well. I think we're pretty much almost at a good wrapping point.
It was good by quick.
Yeah, it did.
did you have any fun tonight here discussing and listening to our jibber jabber?
I did. I had a lot of fun. I love talking about stuff like this.
Maybe we should have asked you this at the beginning, but I guess what is your geek? What's your favorite kind of geek to partake in these days?
Are you mental?
Goodness. So much. I'm kind of behind on comics. I read a lot of titles. And then I guess I would probably say I love Arrow. It's like my favorite TV show ever.
Yeah.
And what else? I don't know. I love comic movies and stuff like that. Mainly comics. I just need to prioritize my time so that I'm sitting down actually reading them and not like on Twitter or like doing something else. I actually need to just set aside some time because once they pile up for me, like it's like I just can't like get to them and then I just like skip ahead and then I'm like, oh, I missed this. Yeah. And I'm sure it's familiar to a lot of people, but like I seriously had two long boxes full of comics that they're actually still there that I was like, well, I'm gonna jump ahead first and then I'll come back and just start filling in like where I missed, just because it just was like double shipping and everything and I just couldn't keep up with it. It was so much. But yeah,
I do the same thing actually. I get especially or like my comic shop will have like a big sale, like a, you know, a dollar book sale or something like that, and you load up on a bunch of books and then it's like I somehow need to fit these into everything else I'm already reading.
Yeah.
Sometimes with the sales it's like, okay, I just need these to fill out the collection.
Yeah.
It is stuff that I remember reading in the past and grab what I can and call it a day. I'll get to them when I get to them. Thankfully for, like with a lot of the Marvel stuff, you know, when you buy the physical book, you also get the digital code. So it's like a 2-for-1 deal.
Yeah.
So you can always read them digitally as well. Oh, so.
Speaking of Marvel and reading, stumbled upon this. It was, you know, if you're Apple in the Apple ecosystem, I guess you could say. I didn't check to see if it was on Google, but there's a new app that's that I know of. It's called Marvel Origins, or it's also could be under Marvel Reads. But you start it up and it's got a bunch of like kind of read to you stories. It's good for kids. I know Iron Man is like the first one that I've gone through with my son. And the cool part is like, you know, it's kind of one of those, granted he's reading the story to him. So it's good for his age because he's not reading himself, but it's being read to him by Stan Lee, which he at this age doesn't know how awesome that is. And, you know, there's little interactive things like, you know, it's like Iron Man's fighting the Mandarin and he's shooting his repulsor blast. So you tap the screen to like make the repulsor blast, you know, beat Mandarin instead of, you know, kind of fighting back and forth. And so there's little interactive activities like that. And it's a pretty cool little free app. So if anybody's out there that's looking for something for their kid, that's kind of comic book related, yeah, maybe go check that out.
Yeah. Well, it was Comicology came out and announced too that, the DC Nation app is going away and it will be merging and all that stuff will be merging with the DC's, with the DC Comics app.
Oh, okay.
So, So you can still get your DC Nation books, which is more of the kid stuff, but it's now going to be all under DC instead of the two separate apps.
I didn't really understand that too much. Anyway, like, I guess because they do that a lot where they'll branch out and like say, you know, here's the Superman app, and all it is just like another portal for you to go to the DC Comixology app. You know, so it's all going back to the same thing, but I guess it's maybe getting the people that try to keyword in search, you know, their favorite superheroes.
Well, the DC Nation app too was tying into, you know, Cartoon Network's DC Nation.
Right. But all the books that you got were all on the main, you know, Comixology app. So
right.
To me, it was kind of like, why are you splitting it off and maybe making it more confusing to somebody?
Well, the thing that kills me is, you know we talked about this before, you know, Comixology, you can't buy the books through the app, through the Comixology app.
Mm-hmm.
But you go to Marvel, you still buy the books. It's Comicology that runs it. DC, you can still buy the books. It's Comicology that runs it.
Right. I think some of the other. I think you're okay if you have a Google enabled phone, but if you got an iPhone, you can't buy it on your phone.
If you have an iPhone, you cannot buy books through the Comicology app. You have to go through the website.
Right.
If you can buy them through, I think it's. I forget what he told me. I think it's the Kindle that you can buy them through and you don't have to.
Right. That just stems back to Amazon now owns Comixology and Amazon's partnered up with Android and Google. So they don't like either Apple.
No. But like I said, you know, Comicology still runs the DC and Marvel app, and yet you can still buy the books through their apps.
Well, that might be actually more of a result that DC Digital does keep themselves separate from the rest of Comicology.
True. So does Marvel.
Well, not to the same degree. Like, as a retailer, it's even like two separate. It's almost kind of like two separate entities. Even though they're kind of under the same umbrella, they still kind of, there's like even a different percentage base for retailers to, if you sell a DC book versus some other
book.
So there is, I think, and that's just the deal that I think that DC worked out with Comicology that's different. They set their own different terms than what everybody else was agreeing to, I guess.
Gotcha. So, well, check out the website, check out our affiliates like Rick's Comic City, where if you enter the code WeBeGeeks, it's 10% off your purchase. Of course, Shirt Punch, Geek Me Box, Nerd Block, Shirt Punch, Amazon. Click on those links. It'll open up the website for you. Check them out. Buy something. Support them. It helps support us. That way we bring the shows to you for free. We don't have to charge. And it also allows us to improve the show even further. Other than that, follow us on Facebook at WeBeGeeksPC. On Twitter, you can follow Marty at
Giant Yoda.
And Jules, they can follow you
at Jules Hendricks.
And you can also hear Jules on the all-female podcast called The Chick Cast.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that show, eh?
Chick Cast, there's four adorkable ladies, and our fearless leader, Corey, she set this up and got us all together, and we usually typically ask like questions through Twitter, and then people just ask us like it could be anything. It doesn't even have to be comic related, but mainly it's comic related or comic movie related. And then we answer their questions, and usually like we'll just have like last episode I missed, but the episode before we talked about, we all went to see Guardians of the Galaxy. So we talked about it as best we could without like boiling it because it was still fairly new. So, but when The Walking Dead starts, we watch The Walking Dead and then we record right after. So we're like talking about it, trying to be spoiler free, but it ends up being hysterical because we're like that one person that did that and then he did, and it's just like ridiculous, but but we have a lot of fun doing it, and it's fun that it's just like girls just geeking out about just everything.
Do you find that's getting to be more the norm? Because, you know, I'm gonna say back in my day as some like the old guy, but it seemed like there was fewer girls that would be interested in The Walking Dead or comics or something like that. Do you find it more exciting that there seems to be like a larger boom of girls that are geeking out?
Oh yeah, I'm all for it, and I have a 9-year-old daughter too. So like even like for when she gets older, like I totally push for any type of female thing that like even she can grasp hold of. And yeah, when you go to Comic Cons, you see a lot of females now, and it seems like it's just getting bigger and bigger. So. There still is the stereotype where, you know, guys read comics and girls don't go into comic stores and stuff like that, and they don't see comic movies, but it's definitely changing. And like with the Wonder Woman movie coming out, I think that's going to bring out a lot of females. At least I hope so.
Well, we'll see if Marvel comes to the plate first with Black Widow or since they announced there's going to be a Spider-Man female movie from the Spider-Man franchise, you know, what's coming out from there as well.
Sure. Could be, I think I heard Black Cat might be in the running.
Black Cat, possibly Spider-Woman.
Yeah.
And I agree with Jules. Yeah, you're seeing a lot more female presence at Comic-Cons. I just question some of the cosplay and the choices with the cosplay. I mean, for most of the guys, yeah, the eye candy's great, but is it really necessary? But that's a whole other show.
Right. I'm just glad that my favorite line from the documentary Trekkers, is getting to be less and less prevalent, where they're talking about these guys that would get together every year. I think it was like, I think they were celebrating like James T. Kirk's birthday or something like that. So they were just had an excuse to get a party of a bunch of nerds together. It's like, yeah, we did this one year and it was great. And we did it again the next year and more people came and did it again the next year and more people came. And then the next year a girl came, you know, and it was just like that whole statement of like a girl came. And so I'm glad to see that that stereotype also is kind of just like sort of going away. And it's not so, I guess, cliche for it just to be a guy's club, that there's more inclusiveness to everybody to enjoy the same things that we all love.
Don't run away from your feelings.
Check us all out. If you don't want to go to the affiliates or you think that's too much of a hassle, donate to the show. It's right there at the top. I just added links to where you can email the show, right off the homepage as well. So feel free to email us with any questions or whatnot. And, remember, the Dark Horse pick of the week is The Strain, Night Internal number 1. And, until next time.
Want to know more?
The bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
This has been a Weeby Geeks production.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Check out the pop culture podcast that everyone is talking about. Follow the show on Twitter at Well Watchers. Listen to the show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and thewellwatchers.com.
Introducing Rebel Force Radio,
your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary
with Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
Rebel Force Radio.
You are on the front lines of fandom by listening to this show.
Jimmy Mack and Jason Swank usher in a new era of Star Wars podcasting.
Rebel Force Radio.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Stay tuned for special announcements about the Rebel Force Radio official webpage.
Leaving no Star Wars fan behind.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next. Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness!
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Pardon the interruption. I have some news which I believe you will find most interesting.
Would you like to hear the latest in Marvel television, film, and comic book news? Are you looking for some suggestions on what to pick up on New Comic Book Day? Well, join Mike and Ken every Saturday night at 8 p.m. on Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio, your source for all things Marvel.
There is a matter that requires your attention.
Mighty Marvel Geeks, assemble!
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?